This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Jeff Worrell, returning with episode number two, actually part two of our ongoing series with Rick Guenda. He's a specialist. He owns Guenda Seminars and Consulting, a billing specialist where he is helping clients, physical therapy clinics all across the country with their billing issues. Welcome back, Rick.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me back.
You know, I really found part one very interesting, and if our listeners are just tuning into part two, make sure you pick up part one so that you can hear all of Rick's great information strategies about billing Medicare and their eight-minute rule. But part two, we're going to focus on billing for reevaluations and, if we have time, how to bill non-Medicare patients. So, Rick, just real quick, just recap your background a little bit for our listeners that didn't hear part one.
Sure, Jeff. I am a physical therapist. I graduated in 1991. In addition to being president CEO of Guenda Seminars and Consulting, I'm also director of physical medicine and rehabilitation at Detroit Receiving Hospital here in Detroit, Michigan. So I've been in a hospital setting for 17 years. Mm-hmm. I do oversee physical occupational therapy as well as speech-language pathology, both inpatient and outpatient.
Great. Okay. Well, let's get on to topic number two of this multi-part series, billing for reevaluations. Now, what did you mean exactly by that?
Well, there's a myth out there. There's a couple myths out there with reevaluations. Either people feel that or believe that insurance payers, including Medicare, do not pay for reevaluations, or the second myth that, well, they understand that payers do pay, but they don't want to bill for them because of red flags.
Red flags meaning
that if insurance companies see that you're billing for revals, they might request your records, might request your documentation to see why you're doing it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, people are afraid to have to submit their records. So hence, sometimes I think we do services and just don't bill for them to, quote, stay under the radar.
Yeah, okay. And where did this myth come from, do you think, as far as the first part, where that they just Medicare just doesn't pay for reevals?
Well, I think the first part, the reason people think Medicare doesn't pay for reevals, is I think there are people out there that are billing reevals to Medicare, but they're not billing them correctly, and hence they're not getting paid. Medicare has what we call correct coding initiatives, mm-hmm. edits. The brief thing is CCI edits, and essentially any time that you bill either a PT and or an OT reval on the same day that you bill any sort of treatment, such as therapeutic exercise, manual therapy, gait training, etc., your billing department needs to append, attach, modifier 59 to the reval code on the claim form in order to get it paid. Well, a lot of people don't know that, so they may bill out, say, on a certain date of service, let's just say October 31st, 2008. Somebody might bill out 3 units of exercise and then 1 unit of either a physical therapy reval or an occupational therapy reval. Mm-hmm. Well, on the claim form, if they don't attach modifier 59 to that reval code, their Medicare contractor will only reimburse them for the 3 units of exercise. So then people just think, well, gee, I'm billing the reeval to Medicare. I'm not getting paid. Why bill?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is they're not doing everything they need to do to get it paid.
I see. And it is absolutely clinically necessary to do a reeval. So Medicare is not saying, hey, this isn't necessary. It certainly is. It's a prudent thing to do from a clinical standpoint.
Correct. And Medicare, in their outpatient therapy rules and regs manual, they list about 4 or 5 instances where a reeval may be necessary.
Mm-hmm. And that's to document improvement, I'm assuming?
Well, it can be a couple of things. One reason could be maybe since the evaluation, the patient actually had a decline in function.
Mm.
So obviously none of us are anticipating the person to get worse during the course of therapy treatment. So that could help justify why to do a reeval.
Sure.
A second possible one could be, well, the patient's not responding to treatment, and the therapist during the course of treatment maybe has changed interventions or the change in techniques, change in parameters, trying to get the patient to improve, they're just simply not improving, well, that may justify doing a re-eval to determine why the patient's not improving. Maybe we missed something the first time during the eval. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's new clinical findings going on. Could be some possible examples of could be some possible examples of why to do a reevaluation.
Okay, all right. So quickly again, it is okay to bill Medicare for reeval, but you have to do some specific things to make it go through.
Correct. You can bill Medicare for reevaluation from the billing perspective. If you're doing treatment on the same day, your billing company would have to append modifier 59 mm-hmm. to the reeval code in the claim form. And then obviously documentation would need to support the medical necessity of doing a re-eval in the first place.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
And again, and not just Medicare, a lot of other payers also reimburse for re-evals.
Okay. Now, would there be any truth to the statement that some payers don't actually allow a re-eval or pay for a re-eval?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So there are some of those.
There are going to be some, and again, that's going to be payer-specific. Mm-hmm. And a good example could be Blue Cross Blue Shield. Most Blue Cross Blue Shield plans around the country do reimburse.
Okay.
But in every state, we have a different Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of insurance, I would say the majority of insurance companies do reimburse for re-evals. Medicare is a good example. They do, and they don't put a time frame. They don't tell you how you're going to do one every 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
You can bill a re-eval to Medicare whenever you, the therapist, feel it's medically necessary.
Excellent.
It meets the criteria.
Okay, good. I bet everybody out there is finding that information helpful. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to our third topic, how to bill non-Medicare patients. Now, to me, that seemed, wow, that seems obvious. But tell me what you meant by that.
Well, when we talked about in part one about Medicare's 8-minute rule, mm-hmm. everybody thinks that we need to then apply Medicare's 8-minute rule to non-Medicare payers, and that's not necessarily true. Most non-Medicare payers, such as Aetna and Cigna and Workers' Comp and your Blue Cross Blue Shield plans and any other payer in your respective state, if you read their policies and procedures, they don't say they follow Medicare's 8-minute rule, which means they would follow the American Medical Association's coding guidelines. And what I mean by that is a lot of our time-based codes for therapy say each 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we're supposed to bill those services to those insurance companies. Now, it was either December 2003 or the February 2004 edition of CPT Assistant, the American Medical Association provided an example where they used manual therapy. And essentially what they came out and said is you must do a substantial portion of the 15 minutes to then be able to bill that to the insurance company.
Okay,
here's the confusion, the gray area.
Yeah.
The American Medical Association doesn't define substantial.
I was just going to say, how do you define it? Yeah.
Right, and neither do insurances, which then puts it on the onus of you, the therapist, you, the assistant. And I think because of that gray area, I think most therapists and assistants and organizations, to be on the safe side, simply just follow Medicare's 8-minute rule.
Okay.
And I think most of the times, whether it was a Medicare payer or non-Medicare payer, it's going to come out the same.
Okay.
But let me give you, do you mind if I give an example?
Oh, no, not at all, no.
Of where it could be different? Okay. Let's say, for example, you do 27 minutes of exercise, you do 14 minutes of manual therapy, and you do a 10-minute ultrasound. They have 27, 14, and 10, and those interventions are time-based codes in 15-minute increments.
Mm-hmm.
But when you add that up, it comes up to 51 minutes. Well, if this was a Medicare patient, 51 minutes falls between 38 through 52 minutes, and you would only be able to bill 3 time-based units to Medicare.
Uh-huh.
But let's look at it now from a non-Medicare perspective. Going by the American Medical Association, each 15 minutes must do a substantial portion. So we said we did 14 minutes of, I think, manual therapy. Well, I think we'd all agree 14 minutes is substantial 15.
Mm-hmm.
That could be one unit. Well, we said we did exercise for 27 minutes. Well, we did it for at least 15, so there's your second unit overall. which leaves 12 minutes of exercise left over.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel 12 minutes is substantial, 15?
I do.
Say we do.
Yeah.
There's 3 units. Now we get to the ultrasound. Is 10 minutes of ultrasound substantial, 15? If you say yes, there's your fourth unit and a non-Medicare payer.
Mm-hmm.
If you say no, you know, that's also your choice.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not telling people to do it or not to do it. I just try to point out that Medicare's 8-minute rule is for Medicare.
Yeah.
It doesn't apply to other payers.
So what? How do you coach your clients to handle that situation? I mean, if I said, okay, you're the consultant, you're the expert, what should I do?
You know, again, my opinion, you know, to me, substantial is at least halfway over. So if you're going to do something for 8 or 9 minutes, to me, that would be substantial. But then, of course, somebody could always say, well, Rick, what if I did 8 minutes of exercise, 8 minutes of manual, and 8 minutes of neuro? You know, that's substantial. I did at least half.
Yeah,
would that be 3 units?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there I would probably say no. So, unfortunately, I think you have to do a few different types of scenarios with the staff to really educate them on that, because, you know, when you do 3 8-minute services, and it really only comes to the 24 minutes and you're billing 3 units, you know, there I would not feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So now, it's kind of that fine line, and you just got to also be able to get a feel for the organization and the staff and what they can handle.
Exactly, because in the modern facility today, isn't the staff therapist deciding what to actually put on that bill that gets turned in?
Yes, yep, it should be the therapist or assistant
that
determines the amount of units that gets billed and how many units of each CPT code.
So we could have two people in the same department billing different things, or billing different ways for the same thing.
It is possible, yes.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, this was excellent. We've actually come to the end of our segment. So I want to thank you, Rick, for your information. I know people are going to find this very helpful. And if someone wanted to reach you or wanted to contact you in the future, how would they go about doing that?
Okay. Phone number would be 661-645-1490.
Okay.
Email would be rgawenda, so it's rgawenda at gawendaseminars.com. And then my website is www.gawendaseminars.com. A lot of information out there for providers of therapy services, as well as, again, my phone number and email is also on my website.
Great. Very good. Okay, so if anyone out there wants to contact Rick Gawenda for more information, please feel free to do so. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. And I want to thank you again for taking the time to join us today on PT Talker. And hope that everything goes well with your consulting, and that you would be willing to come back and join us again, maybe as you find new information and things change. We'd love to inform our listeners of those changes.
I'd be more than glad to, Jeff. I appreciate your time as well.
Okay, excellent. This is Jeff Worrell signing off with another episode of PT Talker. And to hear previous episodes, all you need to do is go to our website at pttalker.com or subscribe to iTunes, where we can be found as well. Jeff Worrell with another edition on billing, and thank you for joining us today.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.